Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about red flag weather warnings, an update on the state's response to coronavirus, and the revamped Superfund site in Anaconda. It's Wednesday, March 4th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Law enforcement officials say the last of three inmates who escaped from a Montana jail has been captured. Authorities say 25-year-old Andrew Parham was arrested without incident yesterday at a residence in Crow Agency, 59 miles east of Billings. Bighorn County Sheriff Lawrence Big Hair says authorities learned of Parham's location through an anonymous tip. Parham was on the run for 25 days following his February 7th escape with two other inmates from the Bighorn County Detention Center in Basin. Authorities say Stephen Caplett and Anthony Castro were arrested separately in Billings within a week of their escape. The National Weather Service yesterday issued a red flag warning for parts of central and southeastern Montana due to dry winds that could lead to extreme fire behavior. Rachel Kramer reports.
Billings National Weather Service meteorologist Todd Chambers says the red flag warning affects Yellowstone, Bighorn, Carbon, Golden Valley, Musselshell, Powder River, Rosebud, and Treasure counties until 6 p.m. Wednesday. He says the conditions leading to the red flag warning are twofold.
First part of it is that we don't have any snow on the ground in a lot of areas, so it's been fairly dry over the last few weeks.
The second part.
This year we just got some exceptionally strong winds. It's not usual to have wind gusts over 60 miles an hour over such a broad area for several days in a row.
Chambers says during red flag warnings, people need to take extra precautions to prevent sparks. He says that includes not driving through tall, dry grass or letting chains drag on the highway.
Certainly no ag burning or, burning trash for the next couple of days here until we can get those winds to calm down.
The service has also issued a high wind warning for most of the state east of the Continental Divide through Wednesday evening, after which gentler winds and higher humidity are in the forecast. Chambers says it's not unusual to have a few red flag warnings in the winter months. There have already been a few wildland fires this year. The Belt Rural Volunteer Fire Department responded to fires in Judith Basin and Cascade counties in February. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
The National Weather Service clocked wind speeds of 71 miles per hour in Big Timber yesterday. In Billings, winds hit 62 miles per hour. Cape Air's afternoon flights were all canceled. State wildlife authorities in southern Montana are seeking information after multiple trumpeter swans were shot dead at a pond near Bozeman last month. The Bozeman Daily Chronicle reported Monday that biologists and wardens from the State Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks determined the swans were shot illegally. Anyone who may have heard gunshots in the area is encouraged to report any information. An investigation is ongoing. Governor Steve Bullock has created a state task force to prepare for the possible spread of the novel coronavirus in Montana. Montana Public Radio's Corin Cates Carney reports Montana efforts now include testing for the coronavirus at the State Health Department.
Currently, no cases of the COVID-19 illness are reported in Montana. But Greg Holzman, state medical officer with the Montana Department of Public Health and Human Services, says all Montanans need to move forward with the understanding that the coronavirus may soon be here. Holzman says health officials worked over the weekend to get a lab up and running in Helena to test samples from individuals potentially exposed to the coronavirus that causes COVID-19.
What happens if there's an individual that needs to be tested? The providers call their local public health that communicates with us, and we organize everything to get the specimens up here and are able to do the testing.
Positive samples would be forwarded to the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention for confirmation. Governor Steve Bullock says the state lab has stockpiled 200 tests and the state can get more if needed. If someone in Montana does test positive for the coronavirus, Bullock says the state will let the public know as soon as possible. Marissa Perry, communications director for the governor, says the state will also make public information about the infected person's location. Bullock says the state is taking precautions and he doesn't want to suggest fear or hysteria.
We should all go about our regular daily lives, with the recognition that this is changing and it's moving quickly and there's impacts, and other states have seen those impacts, and it wouldn't be surprising by any measure for Montana to get a COVID-19 case at some point.
The governor's coronavirus task force includes half a dozen cabinet members and state government department heads, and will coordinate the public health response to the virus with state, federal, and local officials. Bullock says the state has about $2 million in its emergency fund to use on initial efforts against the coronavirus if needed. It's unclear if the state will seek additional money from the federal government. Bullock says the state would have to see what's needed. I'm Corin Cates-Carney, Montana Public Radio News.
Public health officials and area hospitals in Yellowstone County announced they've created a unified health command to prepare for possible spread of the coronavirus. Montana State University announced yesterday it's activating an incident management team to address questions and plan for potential contingencies on our campus. Anaconda residents are coming to grips with an agreement recently released to the public that will revamp the Superfund cleanup in the area. Montana Public Radio's Nick Mott reports on the first meeting this week for the public to weigh in on the proposed deal.
Nearly 20 people gathered in the county courtroom as officials laid out the contents of the agreement between Anaconda Deer Lodge County and the Atlantic Richfield Company.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and start.
Mike Grayson, an independent attorney from Anaconda that worked on the agreement, says the deal came about due to pressure from the Trump administration's EPA to find some consensus after decades of inaction.
The devil is truly in the details.
For more than a century, a brick chimney taller than the Washington Monument has loomed over the city of Anaconda. There, the Anaconda Company smelted copper ore hauled over from nearby Butte. The Washoe smelter brought a booming economy to the area until 1980, when the industry went bust and left the area and its residents saddled with a toxic footprint the size of New York City. It became a Superfund site in 1983, and ever since, the state, county, EPA, and the Atlantic Richfield Company have been trying to agree on the terms of cleaning it up. That's where the deal released last week comes in. It's a step on the road to a final cleanup decision, and it's one part of a massive Superfund complex that sprawls 120 miles down the Clark Fork River. Bill Everett, CEO of Anaconda Deer Lodge County, says the bulk of the agreement focuses on public health.
That was our primary concern. That's the number one thing we went after.
Toxic metals spewed from the smelter settled in soil and in attics, so those are the main targets of the agreement. Among the provisions, there will be huge changes in how to clean up yards. Instead of looking at the average of contamination levels across a yard, with emphasis on where people congregate, the new agreement will clean up yards with even one so-called hotspot with high levels of arsenic or lead. It also lowers action levels for parks and schools across the community, so they don't need to test any higher than residential property. The attic cleanup program will also be expanded, and the county will hire 7 new full-time employees to make it happen.
I think of all the things we got in this agreement, that's my favorite.
Everett says these efforts will begin this spring as soon as the agreement is signed. The draft deal says ARCO will provide about $30 million for economic development over the next 25 years. That money will pay off county debt on its wastewater treatment plant and fund a $10 million hotel complex, among other initiatives.
The community's got to start looking towards the future, and once we get this agreement signed, that'll be the direction we're headed.
From 1970 to 2010, the population of the county shrunk by about 40%. Everett says the hotel will help the city get past the stigma of Superfund as it reconciles its toxic past with its future. It will boost traffic to the city for high school sports events, skiing, and the local golf course, which was built with bunkers made of smelting slag as part of the cleanup.
But I want to see something and leave something to I know that this community, which I grew up in, will thrive.
Anaconda local Paul Beausoleil and his wife Michelle say they're happy with the agreement, but they're still trying to absorb all the information. They're attending as many meetings as possible. Their main concern is making sure their property is still on the list to get cleaned up. Rose Nyman, another local, says the agreement is a much-needed step in the cleanup, as long as community members have ample time to learn more and to chime in, though she continues to worry about the health of the community.
A lot of my school chums have died of cancer, and I can't help but making the connection.
Other attendees voiced concerns about the court-mandated secrecy of the negotiations and the cost of the programs. No definite timeline has been set for a vote, but officials say the county commission is likely to decide on whether or not to authorize the agreement by the spring. Four more public meetings are scheduled over the next 2 weeks, and county officials welcome public input. The deal is separate but related to a forthcoming consent decree, which will decide the fate of the rest of the Anaconda cleanup, including a partial cap on the massive slag pile that sits near the smelter. County officials estimate that document will be released within the next year. I'm Nick Mott, Montana Public Radio.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.